Hi, this is Gary Brumbelow. I'm so glad you've chosen to listen to this sermon, and I trust you will find something of real benefit in what you're about to hear. You may be clicking on from anywhere in the world, but if you're in the vicinity of Troutdale near Portland, Oregon, we'd love to have you in our service every Sunday at 11 o'clock. We're located at 921 Buxton Avenue, a half mile above the historic downtown Troutdale. But in any case, may God bless you richly. Thank you for listening. Well, I invite you to turn to Luke 2 as we have a brief, sort of more almost like a devotional than a sermon this morning, but a time to rehearse once again the story of Christmas, the first Christmas, as we've already heard, but we will hear again a little bit, Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 1 through verse 14. There's a Bible under a chair in front of you if you want to use that to follow along. I do encourage you to get your hand on a Bible and open it up. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right at the beginning of the New Testament, near the beginning of the New Testament, and put your finger on the words if you need be and follow along as I read these amazing words, very, very old, but very powerful, no less powerful than when they were written. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. So this is God's Word. This is God's Word to us right here, December 25, 2016, Troutdale, Oregon. This is what it says. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Let's read that last verse together, shall we? Praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Lord, once again, we come to you as we enter this time, just a few minutes to review again this story. Use it in a new way. Lord, please penetrate every heart and mind here this morning that we might not miss one little whisper of what you have for us on this wonderful Christmas morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You've probably noticed the Chinese student pilots going up and down Kane Road for the last, couple years, you know? Their government has sent them here to learn how to fly in our little Troutdale airport right here. They live up the hill in an apartment somewhere up the hill, and that's why you see them all the time. They're going from the apartment down to the airport and back.
Wearing red jackets.
Yeah. Yep. They're blue. Is that, are they blue?
Red.
Oh, red jackets. Oh, okay. I haven't seen them since the weather got cold, I guess. Okay. Very distinctive. You can't miss them. And on a day like this, I think about those guys, and I wonder, what do they know about Christmas?
You see, here, of course, in the U.S. and Canada, Latin America, where there's a lot of Christian influence of some kind, Christmas is huge, you know, but in the part of the world where they come from, you know, Asia, basically, they don't have that in their tradition. It wasn't settled that much. There wasn't that much Christian influence, at least that has lasted, that has stuck. And I'm sure there's many people, I don't know what those guys know about Christmas. Now, obviously, they can't be ignorant of Christmas because they go right by the outlet mall. And they see all that stuff happening there. But what do they know about Christmas? Have they ever even heard the story that was just acted out for us this morning, the story that I just read? Have they ever heard that before? And you know what? It's not just foreigners. It's not just foreigners that I'm thinking about. There's plenty of Americans who really miss out on the true meaning of Christmas and maybe are even ignorant of Christmas. And you have to admit, it's easy to get all lost in all the other stuff. Not that it's all bad, but it kind of distracts us from the meaning of Christmas time. All the shopping and Santa stuff, you know, and the trees and the tinsel and the trinkets and the presents and the plum pudding. And that's all fine, except when it drowns out the truth of Christmas. Many people go all the way through the Christmas season and never think once about Bethlehem. When Valerie and I were students at Moody Bible Institute years ago in Chicago, a friend was downtown in a department store at Christmas time and overheard someone, they had a nativity scene there on display, and she overheard someone look at that and say, "Well, would you look at that? Some people want to get religion into everything." Whoa. So you see, even Americans can be ignorant about Christmas. But not you. You've heard this story many times. You've heard this story every Christmas times X years, however many years that is. You know this story. This story is very familiar to you, and that's good. Of course that's good. But there's a potential problem there too, isn't there? Because the wonder of it can be lost because it becomes so familiar. Somebody said you should try to read the Bible as if for the first time whenever you open the Bible. Because it's easy to lose the wonder. It kind of reminds me, our boys, I think I've told you this, I've told on our boys about this before, when they were teenagers and we would have family come from out of town, we'd always take the family, we'd always go and see Multnomah Falls. You know, And finally, the boys, when they were teenagers, they started saying, "Dad, do we have to go see Multnomah Falls?" Imagine that. You got tired of Multnomah Falls. And there are people who get tired of the Christmas story. It becomes old hat, you know. Yeah, I get it, preacher. You know, there's mangers and shepherds and angels, a baby, I got that. Have you got anything else for me, preacher? So you see, it's easy to actually lose the wonder and it becomes a sort of old hat thing, and maybe you know somebody like that. Maybe you're even like that. Maybe you were dragging your heels a little bit to come to church this morning. But at any rate, in any case, here's my suggestion for the next very few minutes this morning. Let's imagine we're hearing this story for the very first time. Try to put yourself in the shoes of a Chinese student visiting America who's never heard this. What would that be like? I think if you heard the story that I just read for the very first time, you would probably have some questions. Like, what's so wonderful about another baby? Everybody likes a baby, of course, but I mean, for crying out loud, what's the big deal about this baby? And how does this good news bring great joy? What is that all about? And a savior from what? He's a savior, but a savior from what? And what's all this stuff about glory to God? And how does it bring peace to humans? You can have a lot of questions that you would take away from the story if you were hearing it for the very first time. More than we're going to answer this morning. In fact, we're only going to deal with one question this morning. And the rest of this time, And that's this. Who needs a Savior? Who needs a Savior? Good for you. You've got that figured out. But a Savior from what? You see, the angel said to the shepherds, good news. A Savior has been born. And do you see the implication there? A Savior is only good news if somebody needs to be saved from something. Otherwise, that would make it wouldn't make any sense. It would be nonsense. A Savior has been born? Well, so what? Who needs a Savior? The arrival of a Savior is only good news if somebody needs to be rescued. Because that's what a Savior does. He saves. He rescues. So to suggest that the birth of a Savior is good news is clearly to imply that somebody needs saving from something. Otherwise, it's nonsense. Here's a way to think about it. Let's say that you go deep sea fishing. So you get on a boat and you go out in the ocean. And you manage to fall out of the boat. And you don't have a personal flotation device, what we used to call a life jacket. You don't have one of those on, and you're floundering, you're having trouble. And someone steps up and says, hold on, a lifeguard is here. Oh, that's good news. Okay, but let's take a different sport. Let's say that you're golfing, and you hit your ball in the rough, in the tall weeds. So you pick out the club that you want to go in after this ball, and just before you step into the grass, somebody says, oh, wait, hold on, there's a lifeguard coming. Lifeguard? What do I need a lifeguard for? You see, that's how some people are towards this news that a Savior's coming. Well, who needs a Savior? Who needs rescue? Everything's going fine. I don't need a Savior. A Savior from what? Someone who is reading this for the very first time might ask that question, who needs a Savior? Well, but I guarantee you that nobody who's in this story was asking that question. These are shepherds in first century, they're first century Jews living in Palestine, what we call Israel today, and they were not free, and they needed rescue. They were under the authority of Roman rulers, subject to Roman rulers, under the boot of Rome, and they wanted to be free. They have few rights. They can be arrested, flogged, imprisoned, even executed, really for not any legitimate reason, just on suspicion that they've done something wrong. They're a conquered people longing to be free. And all they had, was the promise of God. Pastor Bart read one of those promises this morning from Isaiah. Behold, a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. They had promises like that, many promises, and all of these promises centered on an individual, on a person, someone who was coming. They had a title for him, the Messiah, the Anointed One. In fact, in the Greek, it's Christ. You see that in verse 11. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's the word in Greek for the Hebrew word Messiah. And when we read this story here in Luke, early chapters of Luke of the first Christmas, we're seeing that hope, that there are some who are still hoping for this rescuer, for this Savior. We see it, we looked at Elizabeth's song, we see it in Mary's song, we see it in Zechariah's song. Look at verse 68 in chapter 1. Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit and he says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He's bought us back. He has raised up a horn of salvation. Savior, salvation. You see, they were looking forward to this salvation. They were an oppressed people, longing to be freed, to be rescued, to be saved. And now a Savior has been born, and that is good news. That's the context of the original story. These folks knew they needed a Savior. 2,000 years ago, But what about today? You've heard me say before, the Bible isn't just a history book to learn about history. It's not just an interesting book of lessons from the past. The Bible speaks to you right where you are today. That's what it does. It declares truth to you. It sinks into your mind and into your heart to change you. The Bible always has an agenda for you. And it's always important to listen. What is the Bible saying to me today? Yes, it applied to the original readers, and it applies to you today. The Jews needed rescue then. The world needs rescue now. And maybe someone who was reading this for the first time would wonder, rescue from what? Salvation from what? How does the world need rescue? How do I need rescue? I'm fine. Who needs a Savior? Well, let's start with the world, you see. How does the world need rescue, they might ask. Yeah, there's poverty. There's war. There's conflict. There's hunger. There's disease and death. Yeah, that's just all normal, though. There will always be suffering. There will always be pain. People will always die. We'll all always have cancer and violence and family conflict and war and crime. All that is normal. No, no. According to God, none of that is normal. In God's view, none of those things are normal. And the only reason anybody would say it's normal is because that's all they've ever known. They've never had a glimpse of what God's intentions are for the world. And if you're not aware of what could be, you might think this is normal, but it's not normal. Here's a fable to illustrate what I mean. I'm borrowing here from writer C.S. Lewis. Let's say a pregnant woman is thrown into a dungeon. So a woman who's already pregnant, she's arrested, and she's imprisoned in a dungeon. And in that dungeon, she gives birth to a baby. And this child grows up, and he grows up in the world of the dungeon. And that's all he ever knows. Life in the dungeon is normal for him. It's always dark. It's usually cold. He's hungry almost all the time. He gets kicked around by the guards. That's just life. Being treated like an animal is normal. Hunger is normal. If that's all you've ever known. His mom doesn't tell him about the real world outside because it's better for him if he never knows what he's missing. And if you said to a child like that, a Savior is born, he might even say, who needs a Savior? A Savior from what? But his mom would know. But he wouldn't know. But let's say someone who was good and who was strong enough to overcome the guards and open the prison door and set the mom and the son free, that's a Savior. So here's the point. These shepherds in Luke chapter 2 knew they needed a Savior. They received this message with great joy. Look again at verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The shepherds were like the woman in the dungeon. She knew what she was missing. They knew they needed a Savior. But some people are more like the boy in the dungeon. You see, they think their broken life is normal. They think life messed up, that's just normal. But it's not. It's not normal. Lives like that declare that you need a Savior. Have you ever felt helpless? Maybe hopeless? Of course, everyone has felt discouraged. and even depressed? Do you live with regrets? Do you wish that you could back up and make a different decision at a particular point in your life that would have completely different consequences? Maybe take back some words spoken in anger that once they're out, they're gone, they can't come back. Most of us have regrets like that. Do you live with sorrow over lost relationships? Are you grieving over someone who rejected you or abandoned you or died? Have you ever been taken advantage of? Have you ever wished you could overcome some addiction to a drug or alcohol or pornography? Friend, you need a savior. Those are all indications that you need a savior. And what about the larger world around you? What about injustice and rampant crime and suffering children and sickness and poverty and homelessness? You see, when the angel told the shepherds a savior has been born, that was good news. Humans are broken. Every human is hopeless unless God shows up. And he does show up. He's born a baby. And it changes everything. He was born. He was a human. He lived a perfect life. He taught and loved and ministered and fed. And then he offered himself as a sacrifice in the place of others. A substitution. These deserved to die. And he died in their place for the sin of the world. He died for you. So that all who believe in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, he came to rescue you. And God was intervening in history because all of these human troubles, God is taking history to his goal. All of these human troubles that we think are normal on a day will come to an end because he was born, because he lived. But he didn't only live, he died. And he didn't only die, he rose again. He's alive today. He lives today in a new body. And all who trust in him can have opportunity to get off the road to hell and eternal punishment, and to get on the road to life and joy. That's the Savior who's been born. He's been born. All of that from a baby. When you think about it, that's an unlikely Savior. A newborn, helpless infant. But that's the news the angel brought. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. Strips of cloth they use to wrap a baby, to hold the baby firm and tight. And you know what that tells you? Because the angel knew, the shepherds are obviously going to go and look for the Savior. He's a baby, but he's the Savior. The promised one has come. Here's how you'll find him. Here's what to look for. Look for a baby in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. And that's what they found when they looked. And what will you find when you look? You won't find a baby in a manger. You won't even find, as some who went to look for, an adult in a tomb. A 33-year-old man in a tomb, that's what they thought they were going to find. But all they found, he was bound up in linen cloths. And that's all that was there. Just the cloths are there. The angel at that scene said, oh, he's not here. He's not here. He's risen. You see, he lives forever so that all who trust in him can live forever. He promised that. Glory to God in the highest. He's all you need. Did you know that? Jesus Christ is all that you need. He's the author of life. He's the one who created you and designed you. And he's given us many good gifts, but none of those gifts can ever take the place that only Jesus can take in your life. All the comforts in the world, all the riches in the world, all the endless pursuit of perfect health and beauty that so many of us are seeking, none of those things can give life. None of those things can give peace. If God gives us to use some of them, to have some of them, fine. They're His good gifts, but they're no substitute for the giver, the one born in Bethlehem. They can give pleasure, but true lasting joy and peace and life come only from Jesus Christ, the Savior, who is needed by every human heart. And you can trust Him today. It's Christmas Day. What an amazing day for the very first time in the quiet of your own heart to say, Jesus, I need you. I'm done trying to figure out how I'm going to make my life work. I'm just going to throw my life on you because I need you. You can pray that in your own heart today. In the brokenness of your own life, He can begin to heal and to mend and to weave together. And I invite you, friend and neighbor, I invite you. You have an opportunity today to get off the road to hell, because that's the place of punishment to all who reject Jesus Christ, and to be on the road to everlasting joy, because He came for that, to turn sorrow into joy. You need this Savior. Tears are falling, hearts are breaking. How we need to hear from God. You've been promised, we've been waiting. Welcome, Holy Child. Bring your peace into our violence. Bid our hungry souls be filled. Word now breaking heaven's silence. Welcome to our world. Spirit of God, you know what's happening in every mind and heart here this morning. Oh, pursue every hungry heart. And show them the light of the glory of the gospel. That though we're all sinners, we're born sinners, there is one born in Bethlehem who came to redeem us, to set us free from our sin, who died in our place, who rose again to give us life, on whom we all need to throw ourselves. And some of us, maybe for the very first time today, strike home that message to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.